You're listening to All Things Considered on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Linda Steffen. Starting with President Nixon, every U.S. president has pledged to make America energy independent. Nixon made the promise in 1973. That year, 500 drilling permits were issued in Michigan. The quest for domestic oil nearly destroyed one small village in northern Michigan. Fred Kiesler has this story.
Williamsburg is about halfway between Traverse City and Kalkaska. It was settled in a place the American Indians called Wishkawong, or Clear Cold Water, because of the many natural springs that bubble up there. Spring-fed trout ponds and state fish hatchery were the pride of Williamsburg. But in April of 1973, Williamsburg Creek turned into a milky, muddy ditch. Gerald Dietrich was a firefighter then. He said the first warning of a disaster came to a ham radio operator. He picked up oil drillers talking about problems at a nearby drilling site.
Because it blew, and they knew they were way out of their league to what to do with it. This guy, of course, let the fire department know, and we didn't know whether to believe him or not because there wasn't anything in papers or anything else at that time. It was a day or two before the holes started to show up, before it accumulated enough gas to do the damage.
The ground began to seep and hiss, and the famed Wishkawong Springs belched stinky gas and mud. The seeping gas created frothing cauldrons all over the landscape. Dietrich watched as one boiled up before his eyes.
I said, "Oh my gosh, look at that. The ground just heaved up, and then it caved in right next to the fire hall. It just kept getting bigger there, boiling water and gas. The hiss of gas was just strong. We got about 100 sandbags, threw them against the foundation, hoping to stop it from eating away the footing. When you threw them in there, they just disappeared, and the hole just kept getting bigger."
Tranquil Williamsburg was turned to a disaster site in a matter of hours. Witnesses likened it to Yellowstone National Park, with the geysers and boiling mud pots. A crater opened up underneath Highway M-72, taking out most of one lane of traffic. For days, invisible gas came out of the ground, and everyone feared a spark would cause an explosion.
Nobody knew what would happen if something did touch off, and they were so afraid when a lightning storm came in that maybe a lightning strike would set something off.
Sheriff deputies patrolled the town on horseback. They covered their horses' shoes in order to prevent any spark from flying. Firemen like Gerald Dietrich went door to door with police, encouraging people to leave.
I went to our neighbors, which is Paul Acker's house, and this is probably 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I knocked on the door, and Paul came to the door, and I said, "Paul, you got to get out. There's gas in your house here, and there's gas right alongside of your house." So he says, "Well, okay." He says, "How long do I have?" I said, "You got long enough to put your pants on." We opened all doors and windows so the gas could evaporate from the house.
Not everyone rushed to evacuate their homes, however. Wayne Hanna was fire chief at the time.
Some of them just wouldn't recognize that there was a problem because you can't see gas. You can't see it. And they'd look at the meter and they'd see the meter move, but that didn't really mean anything to a lot of people. So there was no real forcible evacuation. Some of them were left to stay there until they went out to get groceries, and then they weren't allowed to come back in. The police took that approach to it.
People that sneaked back into the village found it eerily vacant of people and animals. Only a single peacock remained. It refused to leave its perch high in a tree as sentinel of the village. Eventually, more than 60 families were evacuated from Williamsburg. They left behind hundreds of craters of frothing mud. Foundations of buildings and trees had fallen into the eroding eruptions. The spring-fed creeks carried muddy water into Elk Lake and Lake Michigan. The source of the problem was Amoco Oil Well E-122, a few miles from Williamsburg. Inexperienced well drillers had tapped into a pocket of gas under high pressure. The pressure forced the gas into the porous rock, rock that was the source of the natural spring water. The gas escaped to the surface along these water pathways. When the gas started to explode from the ground, the workers at the well were trying to fill the well with mud. Rick Henderson is a field supervisor for the Department of Environmental Quality.
When you have one of these well control issues, there's standard methods that you use, which basically is pumping heavy mud down the well bore in order to overcome the pressure that's in the formation by the weight of the mud that you're pumping down the well.
Eventually, the hole was sealed with cement, and relief wells were drilled to vent the gas safely. In October of 1973, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources reported to Governor Milliken the shortcomings in the construction of the well. The company drilled a hole more than a mile into the earth. There was no pipe to prevent the natural gas from escaping into the porous rock. Such a pipe is called an intermediate casing. Henderson says the report prompted a change of the rules for oil and gas well construction.
After they did the report on the Williamsburg problem they had there with the well, they mandated that all wells drilled below the Detroit River Formation had to have intermediate casing run. Since 1973, they've had to run intermediate casing on all the deeper wells. And that has prevented a lot of these kind of Williamsburg problems from occurring.
Today, when someone says Michigan has strong regulations for oil and gas development, this is the sort of requirement in mind. There are more than 3,000 active oil and gas wells in northwest Michigan. About 120 sites have some environmental contamination. However, since the Williamsburg eruptions, there have been no cataclysmic gas eruptions. After the Amoco well was fixed, families were allowed back into their homes. Some were back within 10 days, while others had to wait for months to return. Larry Lake was the Whitewater Township supervisor years after the event. He says the village never fully recovered.
I think that the lingering effects of this particular incident, we look at everything with suspicion now due to this event many years ago. And it has had an effect on real estate values. I think one of the unintended consequences of that particular incident is that it always seems to come up in any real estate transaction as one of the things that is characteristic of this area.
One memento of the eruption can still be seen in Williamsburg. It's a green cap pipe across from the township hall. It still vents gas after 41 years. For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Fred Kiesler in Williamsburg.